Yontasu kaum tar amramas tatantar jyotir evaya sayogi brahma nirvanam brahma bhutau digacchati. One whose happiness is within, who is active and rejoices within, and whose aim is inward, is actually the perfect mystic. He is liberated in the Supreme, and ultimately he attains the Supreme. Labhante brahma nirvanam rishayakshina kalmasha chinnadvaidhaya thakmana sarvabhuta hiteratha. Those who are beyond the dualities that arrive from doubts, whose minds are engaged within, and who are always busy working for the welfare of all living beings, and who are free from all sins, achieve liberation in the Supreme. For the past 7 days, you have been hearing the transcendental message of Sri Bhagavad Gita. Which is considered to be the summary study of all the knowledge of the Vedas. Even the greatest thinkers of the Western civilization applauded the great knowledge contained within Bhagavad Gita. Because it describes in most authoritative terms the highest of all sciences. Within our educational institutions, there are so many forms of science being taught to our students. Physics, biology, is the science of matter. The objects that we perceive with our senses are analyzed, very scrutinizing, into subtler and subtler forms. What we see with our eyes is very gross manifestation. But within that object, for instance, our own body, there are cells. And those cells are made of molecules. And within the molecule is the atom. Within the atom is the neutron and the electron. To understand the power and the energy in these subtlest objects is a great science. And we see how through science, analyzing and learning how to manipulate these subtle, gross material elements, such energy can be created, like the nuclear or atomic bombs. This is a type of science. Of course, the energy that they are releasing from these atomic particles is very great. And if that energy is being directed by pious, moral people, it can create very good welfare for human society. But if it is in the hands of those who have not controlled their minds and senses, who are victims of greed and hungry for power, then that same energy could cause mass destruction. The scientist who is most responsible for this release of atomic energy, Oppenheimer, he actually was thinking that through his investigations and studies and experiments, he could create something that would be of great value to humankind. But unfortunately, it came into the hands of people who were very egoistic and hungry for power. And when the first test of the atomic bomb took place in the deserts of America, Dr. Oppenheimer saw it, and the first words that came to his mouth was the slokas of Bhagavad Gita. When Arjuna saw the cosmic manifestation or the universal form of Bhagavan Sri Krishna, it is explained that that form was blazing like hundreds and millions of suns rising simultaneously. He understood, although he was great as scientist, that the highest science was that of the Gita. And he realized he made a terrible mistake. By meddling with the energies of God unnaturally, his own goodwill, which was the motive of his experiments, could be the cause of the destruction of millions of lives. And that is a science of gross matter. Then there is the science of subtle matter. Krishna explains in the Gita the various energies that are working in this world. Bhumirapo nalo vayu kamano buddha eja eva cha ahankara iti ame bhina prakriti rashtita. Those elements which can be perceived by our senses are constituted primarily, essentially, of earth, water, fire, air, and ether. The subtle elements are the mind, the intelligence, and the false ego. These elements cannot be identified through our senses, but we know their existence. You cannot touch, taste, see, or smell a thought. Because the thought is a manifestation coming from the subtle element of the mind. And although it is utterly invisible to the visible, to the senses, it is those subtle elements of thought that motivate and prompt every living being to act. And it is that subtle element of mind that creates either happiness or distress. So there is some feeble attempts to study the subtle mind through psychiatry and psychology. This is considered to be the science of the subtle elements. Sri Krishna explains in the Gita, aparayamitashvanyam prakritim vinimeparam jiva bhuta mahabaho yayedam dharyate jagat, that besides these eight material elements, there is the soul, the Atma, which is a spiritual element, which is the source of all life and consciousness. Without understanding the Atma, the soul, all of our knowledge is futile and incomplete. Bhagavad Gita is teaching the science of the soul. And how that soul, or you, has relationship with Prakriti, or this material nature, and Bhagavan, or God. It is the greatest of all sciences. Because man's whole pursuit of science is to find relief from distress and higher joys in life. Here we find from the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is explaining that one who understands the nature of the soul and lives according to those understandings experiences unlimited transcendental pleasure. And that pleasure cannot be affected by the dualities of this world any more than water can remain on the leaf of a lotus.
Dukha jaya,
The Brahma Sutra explains Anandamayo Bhyasa that every living being, from the most insignificant insects to the greatest of the devatas and all in between, are seeking pleasure. Because the Atma is essentially, by constitutional position, Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. It is unnatural to be in any condition other than transcendental joy. But when we are not learned in the science of the soul, we seek that infinite joy, that eternal happiness, in the temporary forms of matter, which are sources of misery. And that is called avidya, or ignorance. And Krishna is explaining in these verses we are reading today that one who is free of this ignorance and doubt achieves liberation from all suffering. And achieves that which we are always seeking and longing for. What is Ananda? Ananda is, in its most perfect state, when we reunite with the Supreme through unmotivated, uninterrupted love. Mukti, in and of itself, is release, deliverance of all misery. The negation of suffering. Bhagavad Gita teaches that bhakti is the higher principle because it introduces the awakening of positive spiritual pleasure in loving relationship with Bhagavan or Krishna. Therefore, Lord Sri Krishna says, Bhaktyamam abhi janati yavan yashtasmitatvataha. That it is only through such bhakti or devotion that I can be known as I am. Bhagavad Gita is the science of knowing Krishna. And who is this Krishna? Throughout the Gita it is explained. Krishna says, Matha parataram nanya kinchid asti dananjayat mai saravamito pramit sutre manika na iva. That there is no truth superior to me. Sarava yoni sukunteya murateya sambhavantiya tasam brahmaja mahajoliya aham bija pratapita. That I have created this material nature, and I am the seed-giving father of all living beings. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartite iti matvabhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. I am the source of all material and spiritual existence. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my loving service and worship me with all of their hearts. There are again and again explanations of Krishna's supreme position. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavam ampapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sadurlabha. That after many births and deaths, of following various practices of yoga and religion, one who finally comes to the platform of real knowledge surrenders unto Vasudeva, knowing him to be the cause of all causes and all that is. And Krishna explains the glory of such a process of Sharanagati. Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayi shamima suja. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. I shall protect you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. And then Krishna explains how to surrender to him. Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhya jindam namaskuru mam evaishashi satyam te prati jini jani priyoshime. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. In this way you will come to me without fail. I promise you this. Arjuna recognized, not only with his own realization, but through hearing from all of the great authorities of the past, that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitramitamuttamam, Pratyakshavagamam, Dharamam, Shushukam, Karatamam, Vyayam, Ahustvam Rishaya Sarave, Devarshi Naradastata, Asita Devalo Vyasa, Swayam Chaiva Vibhishime. That you are the Supreme Brahman. Brahman means spiritual power of God. There is the impersonal Brahman, that unmanifest, all-pervading energy that exists everywhere. Brahmano hi pratishtatam. Krishna says, I am the source and basis of this Brahman. And Arjuna says, you are Parabrahman, the supreme Brahman, the supreme purifier, the supreme abode. And not only am I saying these things, but all the great acharyas, Asita, Devala, Narada, Vyas, they all just declare this of you. And just so that all the world would understand Krishna's transcendental position, in the 11th chapter of the Gita, Arjuna requests Krishna
with all humility, please reveal to me this cosmic form.
And Krishna gave him divine vision so that he could see all the universe, all the manifestations of the universe within his divine body. So Bhagavad Gita is the science of realizing, the highest yoga of reconnecting the consciousness with the Supreme Consciousness or Krishna. Through humility, devotion, and service. The circumstance in which the Gita was spoken was Arjuna was torn between the dualities of this world. The forces of good and evil. The forces of happiness and distress, honor and dishonor, pleasure and pain, heat and cold. He was standing between the dualities of material existence, and his mind was bewildered and confused. And although he was most intelligent and a great warrior, he could not remove that duality and that pain from his mind. It was at that time that he turned to Krishna. Shishyaste ham sarimam tvam bhavanam. Now I am your disciple. Please instruct me. He taught that to be delivered from the pains and confusions of this world, we have no power, whoever we are, of our own. We must turn to God. We must hear from the Lord and we must serve His instructions. This is the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. How to love Krishna in everything we do, everything we say, and everything we think. And to experience the ultimate joy in living such a holy and pure life of devotion. There is no use in struggling and toiling just to try to create a better situation in this world when ultimately everything culminates in death. But to utilize all of the resources of this material energy in the service of the Supreme, that work liberates us from all bondage. So what is so important? You have heard very wonderfully from His Holiness Vrindavan Swami Maharaj the science and philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. But now, in order to realize it and to taste the fruits of the great treasure house of Gita, we must live by these principles.
आणि आपण असा प्रयत्न केला की जे आपण त्या उद्देशाप्रमाणे
Jnana vijnana triptatma. There are two forms of knowledge, jnana and vijnana, theoretical and realized. The 18 chapters of the Gita were spoken to Arjuna. That was jnana. But then Krishna told Arjuna, now you fight on the basis of the principles of what you have heard from me. Perfection comes when we put the jnana of the Gita into our life. It is something like if one is sick with a very serious disease and he approaches an authorized doctor for an authorized prescription of medicine. The doctor explains to you exactly what your disease is, what the nature of the symptoms are, what your diet should be, what your exercise should be, and what medicine you should take, and what chemicals are within the medicines. And by explaining of these things, we become convinced. But that knowledge will not cure you. You must take the medicine. Without proper knowledge, we will not know what medicine to take. Knowledge is essential as a basis of action. Do not think that just by coming to the pravachan of a holy man, you will become freed from the sufferings of this world or achieve liberation. You must every day, every minute, put this knowledge into your life. Arjuna was a military man with family. Bhagavad Gita was a scripture by which all such people can attain perfection by putting this knowledge in their life. Yat karoshi rasnasi yat juhoshi tadasi yat yat tapasyasi konte yat kurusha madarapana. All that you do, all that you eat, all that you give away, all austerities and rituals you perform should be done as an offering to me, Krishna says. Our work should be done as a sacrifice and an offering for Krishna. And most of all, Krishna explains, we must learn to always remember him. Because the culmination of our life, death, if we remember Krishna, we achieve Krishna. Death is the final exam of life. If you do not study for your exam, you will never pass when it comes. Some foolish people think when I become old, then I will take spiritual life seriously.
But now that I'm young or middle-aged or upper middle-aged, I have to concentrate on mundane studies. I have to concentrate on family building, money making, prestige making, society making. When all these things are exhausted, then I will think of Krishna. And at the time of death, I know the secret. Just say Hare Krishna. But who will accept such a proposal? If your own child says that I'm in college and the exam is the last day of the year, so I will just play and have nice social acquaintances with all of my friends and go to the movies and watch the television and do so many things, and I know the secret. The last day I'll just pass my exam. Haribo. But it does not work like that. Unless you study very diligently throughout the semester, it is impossible to pass the exam. Similarly, unless we diligently practice every day of our life to live pure and moral, no illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, or meat eating, regularly hear the glories of the Lord, associate with the Lord, and chant the names of the Lord, it is impossible to remember Krishna during the final exam. You see, at the time of death, you have no choice what you will think of. Death is a very severe crisis. The last thought will just arise from your consciousness. Whatever you are most attached to during your life will come as your last thought at death. The path of perfection is during our life to cultivate attachment to Krishna. And Krishna says in Gita that if you do like this, you will attain me without fail. Krishna understands the dilemma that we are in this age of Kali Yuga. It is an age of quarrel and hypocrisy where the mind and senses are very much disturbed and the whole atmosphere is so polluted. Therefore, Lord Sri Krishna appears at the Yuga Avatar of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to personally demonstrate through his own example how to live every day of our life according to the principles of Gita. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so wonderfully and mercifully, Krishna himself, taught us how to live perfectly in each and every ashram of life.
As a brahmachari, as a perfect grihastha, and as a perfect sannyasi. He taught that in whatever situation we may be in, we should always think of Krishna by chanting his holy names. Just like today at Mr. Chakrapani's house here in Nigri, we install the deities of Krishna in his home. In this way we made his home into a temple. Temple means the home of God. Every home should be a temple. To acknowledge that God is the proprietor of our home. But this body is also the home of the soul, the Atma. And we should make our body into a temple. And how to do that? By installing the remembrance of the deity of Krishna within our mind and within our heart. Lord Chaitanya taught us how to do this. By chanting the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Because Krishna is non-different than his name.
And Krishna is a Chanavapisha Niralaniya.
Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. That in this age of Kali, Krishna descends, his incarnation is in the name. By regularly chanting God's name, by regularly associating with God's devotees, by regularly reading and hearing the Gita from proper sadhus, it becomes most simple and practical to always remember Krishna through all of the various occupational activities of our life. When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling through the southern part of India, in the holy land of Ranga Kshetra, he met one Brahmin. This Brahmin was not very well educated. And every day he would sit in the courtyard of the temple and he would recite all the 18 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. But because he would recite the slokas sometimes incorrectly, the other pundits and Brahmins would criticize him, laugh at him. Because the other Brahmins could chant the Gita in perfect Sanskrit pronunciation with accurate meter. But he was just doing the best he could, which was not very good by material standards. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw him reciting the Gita, He saw tears flowing from his eyes. And Lord Chaitanya asked, which part of the Gita is bringing you such ecstasy? And he said, actually, I don't even know. I'm illiterate. But I do not care that these people are laughing and criticizing me, because my Guru Maharaj has ordered me to read the 18 chapters of the Gita every day. And although I have no qualifications, I am simply trying to satisfy my Guru by executing his instruction. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, his heart melted to hear the humility and devotion of this person. And then the Brahman explained that although I do not understand all the Sanskrit that I am reading, as I am reading Gita, I just see Krishna, who is driving the chariot of Arjuna, and who has a beautiful, beautiful blackish form and wonderful lotus eyes, and who is so merciful. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, upon hearing these words, he embraced that Brahman and said, you are the foremost knower of the Gita. Because you are always remembering Krishna with humility and love. And for 4 months, Lord Chaitanya gave that Brahman his constant association and impregnated within his heart pure love of God, the ultimate realization of the Vedas. Also, we find in Krishna's Leela in Vrindavan that one time Krishna and his cowherd friends, the gopas, they were very hungry. They were busy herding cows all day, and while the cows were eating the grass, they would play so many games. In Krishna of Vrindavan, we find the Supreme Absolute Truth in his most divine manifestation of the Supreme Enjoyer of everything and everyone. So how is it that Krishna becomes hungry? To understand this is a great science. When he was a little boy, Mother Yashoda looked in his mouth to see if he had actually eaten dirt, as he was accused of. And when she looked inside, she saw the entire universe. She saw all the planets, all the devatas, what to speak of all the fruits and vegetables and grains and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Om Purnam Adha Purnami Dham Purnat Purnam Udachate Purnasya Purnam Evaya Purnat. The Lord is perfect and complete. He's always full. So how he becomes hungry? The Lord is always hungry for the love of his devotees. He's not hungry for food. He's hungry for love. And that hunger is his mercy. Because it gives us a chance to be enjoyed by Krishna. So although Mother Jashoda saw the entire universe within his mouth, when he closed his mouth and smiled upon her, her motherly love grew so much that she began to think that if I don't feed Krishna my milk, he will be hungry and die. So similarly, Krishna told his friends, I'm very hungry, we are all very hungry, and there are some very, very first class Paka Brahmins who are performing a yajna. And so much wonderful food has been prepared for this yajna. Please go bring some of that food. So the little boys went to the Brahmins who were chanting their mantras very nicely. Krishna and Balaram are very hungry. They are requesting that you kindly give some food. The Brahmins, these dirty little cowherd boys, why should we waste our time? We are Brahmins, we have higher service to chant mantras and perform rituals. So they paid no attention to the children. And they very sadly came back to Krishna and said they would not give us anything. Krishna told them, you cannot be attached to the fruits of your activities. You just do your seva as prescribed for my satisfaction, and that is perfection of your life. This is a very important message. We must perform our work in this world in a spirit of devotion to God, but we should not be attached to the material fruits. Whether we have success or failure is not important by material standards, but that we do it in a spirit of honest devotion is the real fruit of our work. Go to the wives of the Brahmins. They are not very highly learned in the scriptures. They are not very famous pundits. All they know is how to be good mothers and housewives. So they went to the Brahmins' wives, and the Brahmins' wives immediately brought the nicest foods they had prepared for the yajna and said, we will bring them personally, not only give them to you, we want to personally go to deliver them to Krishna.
Brahman ভগবান শ্রীকে সাংসারিক বৃন্দ তোমার জন্য আমি সহায় ভগবান কাছে
So they left their homes and they brought their food. And when they came into the forest and they saw the beautiful threefold bending form of Shyam Sundar, their hearts melted in ecstatic love. And they offered all the best that they had, including their own lives, at the lotus feet of Sri
Krishna.
They had achieved the perfection of life. They are the real authorities of the Gita. Because they put the teachings into their life. And when the Brahmins saw that their wives achieved perfection and they were still chanting their ritualistic mantras, they realized that they had spoiled their human existence. So let us follow the principles that Krishna and Lord Chaitanya have taught. How to be devotees of Krishna in every action, in every phase of our life. And as I have explained, it is quite simple and practical. Associate with devotees regularly. It is essential. This society is so filled with materialistic propaganda that it will certainly bewilder us from the path of realization unless we have the support of sadhu sangha. Hear the Gita in the association of such benevolent and compassionate souls. Learn from them how to study the Gita and live by the Gita in your own home. Place the deity of Krishna in your home and offer all food to him as prasad. Pure vegetarian foods that Krishna accepts. Learn to be charitable. And of course, the greatest charity is to teach others this message of the Gita. Or assist those who are teaching Gita. And practice this most merciful and great benediction in this age of Kali, the chanting of Krishna's holy name. Individually, privately, chant the japa of the holy name of Krishna regularly. And come together in such glorious gatherings as today to congregationally chant the holy name. Through this simple process and joyful process, all the desires of the soul are fulfilled.
त्या आपल्या आत्म्याची जी भूक आहे पूर्णपणे आपण तृप्त होतो.
Through this way we can always remember Krishna. And naturally, when we chant the name of the Lord regularly, we become so spontaneously attracted to Krishna that whatever we do is done as an offering of Krishna. That is the perfection of Gita. So today we have tried to humbly express to you the importance and the practical method by which we can put the Gita into our life. And find the ultimate joy and share that joy with others. Thank you very much. Now I would like to teach you the method in which Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught how families, society, everyone could come together in joyful love under the mercy of the Holy Name.
चैतन्य महाप्रभूने कसं समाजामध्ये घरामध्ये एकत्र येऊन भगवंतावरचे प्रेम करायला शिकलं पाहिजे.
You see, these days it's very difficult for people to have a common interest that they can enjoy.
या कलियुगामध्ये हे अतिशय कठीण आहे की सगळ्यांना मिळून एक मुख्य उद्देश असेल, सगळ्यांचा एकच उद्देश असेल.
Families are becoming so separated because the children like to do one thing, the adults like to do one thing, the grandparents like to do another thing. But this Hari Kirtan brings everyone together joyfully. All castes, all income brackets, all educational brackets, all age brackets, they can all come together and become one in the beautiful sound of Krishna's name. Harinam Sankirtan, as taught by Sri Gauranga, which is the conclusion of all Vedic knowledge in this age of Kali, is meant to that we could all together perfect our lives and go back home, back to Godhead. Therefore it is said, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatirandyata. In this age of Kali, there is one way, by the chanting of the holy names of Hari.